What really gets my dick hard is...
So fucking what?
Welcome to Metal Up Your Podcast. I'm Ethan Luck.
And I'm Clint Wells.
This is episode number 60. And we had to change this episode last second, unfortunately. Our friend Wayne Summers, who is the guy who brought back the infamous Metallica Master Puppets backdrop to the boys, unfortunately had to cancel last minute. But that's okay, because we still have an episode for you. We're still here.
Yeah, we're going to talk through... we actually had a lot going on, and actually so did the boys. So we're going to do the email portion, of course. We released our EP of Metallica covers last week. We got a lot of good response about that. A lot of new patron activity. And we're going to sort of talk about the shows the boys have been playing, What's been going on with the set list.
We've got a cool segment coming up called Metal Madness.
We got Metal Madness coming up with our friend Blake Talica,
Who
is the head of the Freightins of Tennessee Metallica fan club chapter. We were able to get him on the phone, and we pitted Ride the Lightning versus Master of Puppets. That was very fun to decide, Out of the 16 songs on those records, what is the best song?
And you'll hear it shortly.
It's objectively true. These are not just our opinions. We actually got down to the brass tacks, and we decided what Once and For All is the best song. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, and you can't argue with us. Sorry.
So if you're just joining us for the first time, which, by the way, we're on our third week of like an amazing spike in listeners. So yeah. Thanks for everyone for checking us out. If you're listening for the first time, we're an All Metallica podcast. My friend Ethan and I are two touring musicians based in Nashville. Every week we get together and talk about our favorite metal band, Anthrax.
I love Anthrax.
They're actually playing here tomorrow night.
They are.
I'm going to try to go.
I'm tentatively. I'm not sure how long I'm going to be in the studio tomorrow. So, I might be going. I hope to go.
Cool. Well, once a week. I mean, Ethan and I literally travel the world with our jobs, and so once a week, whether Ethan's in Spain or whether I'm in Northern California or whether he's in God knows he's more the world traveler than me, we somehow make it work.
Jet setter, actually,
the jet setter of the two of us. We mentioned the patrons before. If you don't know what that is, it's a way for you to get involved with us on the show, donate to the show, to help us grow in quality and content. We have all sorts of expenses. We've been making merch. We're going to talk about that in a second. And we've tried to make it so that it's not just donating. We try to give back for your donations.
Yeah, yeah.
If you go to patreon.com/metalupyourpodcast, it's PATREON, you can see sort of all the different ways to get involved. You can give $1 a month. You can give $5 a month. Obviously, the more you give, the more we give back to you. We got a shit ton of new patrons this week.
Yeah, this is our biggest week ever of patrons. It's pretty cool.
At the very minimum, we give you a shout out on the show. Do you want to? So we have what, like 10 of these people?
There's at least 58.
58. Okay.
No, we got a bunch this week. I'll read the first few. Clint can read the next few.
Okay.
But yeah, like Clint said, at the very least, we read your name on the show. If you do $5 or more, you get access to our Metallica cover EP entitled "Cover Our World Blackened, Volume 1." So our patrons this week: Josh Glore, Alexander Anderson, Jeff McDonald increased his pledge. Thank you, Jeff.
Awesome.
Leonardo Cislo, Blake Talica, who you're going to hear from later.
Thanks, Blake.
Cal Potter.
We got Harrison McKenzie, Monty Verger Sverison.
Sverison.
Definitely from Montgomery, Alabama, where I was born.
New Jersey.
Luis Lima, longtime writer in of the show. Daniel Kazakuk.
Kozachuk.
He actually told us how to say it later. Rich Krizen and Jack Chambers. Man, thank you guys so many
this week. That's awesome.
And one of the things that you get at a certain tier level is email priority access. So I'm happy to say that most of the emails this week are actually from patrons.
Very cool.
And you know that shit goes a long way. If you really want to get an idea of how the patron situation has elevated the quality of the show, we launched our new website last week, and it's just metalupyourpodcast.com.
Yeah.
If you go there, you'll be able to see all the new merch we've been able to make. The website we actually had to pay for. That was no joke. We were able to pay Nick Makoviak, who supplied us with this badass artwork for our EP. we were able to pay our friend Nathan Thomas to mix and master the EP.
Yeah, yeah.
Just shit that otherwise would just literally be impossible.
Yeah, a lot of it's impossible, or it's possible, but it's the quality's going to be way, way less.
Now, let's say that you fully understand what the Patreon is. You've heard us talk about it a million times, and for whatever reason, you're not able to or not necessarily interested in giving back in that way. One thing you can do that's real easy is you can go to iTunes and leave us a review. Those reviews go a long way in helping us become more visible. If you search Metallica and you're in the podcast thing, we're more likely to come up.
Right.
And if someone's not sure if we're any good or not, and they see that we're at about 250 positive reviews, they're able to say, "Oh, the people have spoken. This is, I guess, a good podcast." And not only that, but we give you stuff for doing that too.
Yeah, you get free shit out of that.
Every month, if you leave us a positive review, your username from iTunes goes into a queue, and every month we draw five names where we give out Metallica prizes. So, how easy can we make it for these people?
This week, we're giving out James Hetfield. We're going to ship him to your house.
Yeah. One prize would be the Kill 'Em All vinyl. One prize would be the Pusshead Hockey Puck. One prize is a Met Club t-shirt. Granddaddy prize, James Hetfield in the flesh.
James Hetfield.
You can keep in your basement.
Massage you.
You can keep him in a gimp suit in a chest that you keep locked. You can slide a pancake under the door.
He loves pancakes.
He really loves them with some maple syrup. So consider leaving the review. I have been told this week that people have been trying to leave the reviews, and for whatever reason, it's not happening.
Yeah, it sounds like an iTunes issue to me. I don't know why it wouldn't. Unless for some reason you've already left a review and you're trying to do it again, I don't know. I'm not really sure. I've never had an issue when I leave reviews. So,
or if you're a fugitive and you're some sort of criminal,
oh, that's probably it.
They're flagging you and they will be showing up at your doorstep soon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're a criminal. You've jumped parole and definitely cannot leave a review.
The bad news is twofold. Number one, the review's not going through. Number two, you're going to jail.
Yeah, there's that.
So consider doing that. We're on all the socials.
The socials, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. Just search Metal Up Your Podcast. You will find us. The best way to reach us and converse with us is by emailing us at metalupyourpodcastshow@gmail.com. We may not respond to the emails right away, but we do read them every single day. We kind of wait, you know, throughout the week because we a lot of times address these emails on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we do read all of them. We enjoy your feedback, your thoughts, your stories, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we love, I mean, part of this whole journey with us is that we're trying to cultivate a community. And I mean, it's like having Blake on. You're going to hear Blake later. You know, we would never have met Blake. And
right, yeah.
We would never have met Tom Cui or Sarah Sobeck or Gene Froman. Or, I mean, I could literally name probably 40 people off the top of my head.
Yeah,
that
go
we
for it.
Don't make me do that. But anyway, so we do love reading all that stuff, telling us your story, your favorite songs, what you do and don't like about our show, blah, 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 blah. You get it.
You get it.
And with that, let's get into some emails.
Let's do it. Okay, our first email is from Jeff McDonald. Clint and Ethan, been listening since day one. I can't thank you guys enough for this podcast. You guys make it feel like we're all hanging out together and talking about our favorite band. Being that Lowe was the first...
That's because we are.
It doesn't feel like that. It is that.
That is what we're doing.
Yeah. Being that Load was the first taste of Metallica I ever had. I heard Until It Sleeps, and it was over after that. It's great to listen to fans that appreciate those albums as well. What I've grown, what I've most grown to love about your show is when you guys talk about each other's talk about other artists' influences and tour stories. I checked out Jason Isbell recently and fell in love. He came to my hometown in Buffalo, New Jersey, the other night, and he was incredible. So thank you and keep it coming. P.S. I'd totally listen to a show of you guys talking music, gear, fellow guitar player, and tour experiences. I'd gladly pay for it.
Cool.
We're going to charge for a brand new podcast about gear. It's going to be $100 an episode.
No big deal. It's super affordable.
Very affordable. We're looking out for the middle class. So.
Well, and here's the deal, Jeff. You know, as a patron of the show, you are helping, you know, financially make sense of us doing this. So we really appreciate that.
Oh, yeah.
We ain't stopping anytime soon.
And by soon, we mean next month.
Brian King writes in, another patron of the show. Now, Brian King is the drummer for the band Reality Suite, which is a
very cool band.
Literally a New Jersey-based metal band. Well, they're like a hard rock band. And we liked them so much, we pledged to their... They're making an EP right now. And
twice.
And we actually did do it twice because Ethan pledged and I didn't know it. And then I pledged
We were going to do it as Metal Up Your Podcast. And I already had a Pledge Music account to donate. So I was like, I'll just do it through mine on behalf of me and Clint. And then like 2 weeks later, Clint's like, I went ahead and pledged. And I was like... Well, we got two pledges to them now, but we like their band, so why not?
Our lack of communication is their gain. So Brian King writes, Clint and Ethan, I just have to say Clint's rendition of The Unnamed Feeling, he's talking about our covers EP, has become my definitive version. I am a St. Anger fan, and I'm shocked that either of you covered anything from that record. After hearing Clint's eerie delivery of the vocal, I was sold. It's been resonating in my head ever since I played it in the car one late night when leaving our studio. I really dig your voice, Clint. Thank you. And Ethan, I love Frayed Ends of Sanity and The Unforgiven 3. Overall, I'm truly impressed with Cover Our World Blackened.
Rad. Thank awesome, you dude. Very much.
Especially coming from a fellow musician that we respect. He says, if you need any assistance in setting up a New Jersey gathering, do not hesitate to reach out to me. I'll do my best to find a location, promote it, organize it, whatever I can do to build the Metal Up Your Podcast name, and have the opportunity to chat music and Metallica in person with you guys. So we mentioned after the success of our party here in Nashville, that we'd like to do that somewhere else. New Jersey is the obvious second choice.
Well, that's where everybody is. So
go to where the people are.
Exactly.
We've literally said that since day one.
Which is why we're in Nashville.
The good news is a lot of people have written in and are real down with this idea. And what we're trying to do, we still don't know the details yet, but if the boys, meaning Metallica, do end up doing another North American tour, whether it's stadiums or arenas, we'd love to come up there and do a party before the day of the show.
That'd be so fun, yeah.
And we are very intentionally trying to find a place that, because it does need to be in New Jersey, but close enough to New York, just right over the river, so that right. Our New York friends can come.
Yeah.
All right. He says, for 20 years, I've pondered a single Load album. I imagined if I were arranging the track list and flow, how would I have done it? Maybe other listeners can contribute their lists. I know Load and Reload are close to you, Clint, so I would bet my list would be a bit sacrilegious to you, haha, but I appreciate the less experimental side of Metallica. So you will notice some glaring omissions from the Load era albums, plus one of my all-time favorites, which was not on either albums, is Inserted. We're going to do a whole episode on this, by the way. So
yeah, we've been talking about doing that re-reload.
I'm going to read Brian's very cool track list here, but maybe you guys don't send those in quite yet, because we're going to do a whole episode based around that, where we want everyone to send their reimagined track list. He says, my two limitations I placed on my list, it must be 12 songs or less, like a traditional single album, and zero skip tracks. All killer, no filler.
Okay.
He says, based on my preferences, after all, it is my playlist. Everyone would have their own criteria, obviously. And he sent us a Spotify playlist. This is what he calls Load Optimized. Number one, Fuel. Number two, The Memory Remains. The 1-2 punch from Reload.
Yeah.
Kind of hard to fuck with that.
It's hard to fuck with that.
Number three, Bad Seed. Tom Cui will be happy to see that. Number four, Until It Sleeps. Probably the best song from those two records. Sometimes I believe that Until It Sleeps, might be the best song from them. That's me saying that.
I'd say that or The Memory Remains. I mean, they're so good.
Now, after Until It Sleeps, he has I Disappear, which I back it. I consider I Disappear to be part of that world.
That era. Yeah. I don't, it's not a favorite Metallica track for me.
I know,
me,
yeah, you don't dig
but,
it.
But
I don't think it would bump anything off Load and Reload for me, but yeah. I do consider it part of those songs.
But Brian, it's your list, so.
Brian, it is.
You're allowed.
It's our list.
Brian, it is your list. And we're
going to we're gonna have to augment your list to put my taste into it. Number six, I think you'll like, Ethan, Wasting My Hate.
Yeah, I dig that track.
Good Day, How Do. Number seven, to me, the dark horse of this whole list, Slither.
Slither, yeah, that was surprising.
Love it. Number eight, Mama Said. Number nine, Cure. 10, Unforgiven 2. And he rounds out the record with Ain't My Bitch.
I love that song.
I can tell from this list that Brian likes the tunes Short and Sweet.
Yeah.
There's no Outlaw Torn. There's no Fixer.
Pop formula,
there's
man.
No Low Man's Lyric.
Yeah.
He says, lastly, thanks for pledging to the Reality Suite Pledge Music campaign. I genuinely appreciate it, Brian. You guys need to really go check it out, because I think if you listen to it, you'll like it. And I think if you like it, you're going to want to get on board with helping them make their EP.
Yeah. Yeah. Go check it out. Yeah. Look at Reality Suite on Pledge Music. You'll find it. Actually, I found this to be true. When I searched for them, Reality Suite was one word. So okay. When you search for that, if you put a space in there, it won't show up.
Well, and it's sweet, by the way, for you out there, S-U-I-T-E, like a room.
Right, like the rooms, the kind of rooms Clint and I stay in when we tour.
Because we're fucking famous.
So famous.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you, Brian. All right, our next email is from Kelly Sheffett. Kelly Sheffey. Hey guys, big fan of the show. Death Magnetic is brought up on the podcast quite a bit, especially for its high compression recording. So my question is, can the record be decompressed if it were to be remastered? It's one of the great modern Metallica albums, in my opinion, and really launched them away from St. Anger. Thanks again, and looking forward to your insight and more of your episodes. well,
the problem really was that, in addition to the mastering issues, from what we've been able to glean,
yeah,
because the mastering engineer actually has come out and said this, that The tracks were already brick walled when he got them.
Yeah.
So if this was a normal situation where the tracks were recorded with a lot of dynamic range and it was just the mastering guy who really took it to what ended up being the clippy mess that it is, then yes, you could take the original stems and you could take the original mixes, rather, and you could remaster it. I mean, they actually kind of did do that. They did remaster it.
They remastered it for iTunes.
But
it's still...
But in doing so, it tried to basically sneak in addressing the clipping issues.
It still doesn't sound great.
But like, but I guess the unfortunate reality is that there's nothing really that can be done.
I don't know, man. I mean, like I've talked about, I did my own little ghetto remaster of this record.
Based you added off, some verb and
I put a mastering plugin on there and kind of beefed it up. And I like it better than their remaster. And I'm not even a mastering engineer. Right. I just did it for fun. I thought this sounds pretty rad. I think you could go back into the original session files and pull stuff back and leave a little room. I mean, I've done that before where I've recorded stuff pretty loud and then, I mean, I just pull the fader down and then there's room for it to, you know.
Right.
I don't know. I think it could be doctored up, but I mean, I honestly doubt the boys are even going to
It does get into, you know, that was a long time ago. The record happened, flaws and all. It's like St. Anger. It's like people want to hear the St. Anger sort of with the drum trigger, not the ting-ting. And I believe me, I kind of want to hear that too, but how many years has it been? And it's like the boys are making new records that sound great. They're on a great tour. Do we want them to spend the last... How much time of their... The last maybe 10 to 15 years do they have? Do we want them meddling with old shit?
We only want them to meddle with Injustice for All.
Just that.
If I had to pick one thing to remix, I would say that.
It is a good question, though. And, you know, it's like that's a... It's almost like St. Anger, too, in the sense that the audio issues of Death Magnetic will just always be a talking point amongst Metallica fans.
I mean, I kind of find that there are those audio issues, and you know, especially if you listen to the iTunes version or the original version on CD or whatever. But like when the unmastered version kind of got leaked out and stuff, when you crank that one, I'm like, it doesn't sound like hardwired or anything, but it sounds like an old school thrash record.
Yeah,
and so there's something endearing about that mistake to me.
Yeah. Well, similar to Justice in the sense that it's kind of the sound of that record.
Yeah, right.
Okay, cool. Thanks, Kelly. Jason Berry writes, "Yo, my dudes, really enjoyed the Garage Inc. episode. I've always loved it when bands do covers. I feel like the Misfits' Where Eagles Dare should be America's new national anthem, a la the Team America World Police theme song. Or maybe it could be Donald Trump's new campaign song, since he can't seem to stop campaigning, even though he already, quote-unquote, won the presidency. I like to imagine him using it and then witnessing Glenn Danzig's response." Should we? We could turn this into a whole other podcast.
I mean, on this subject. God. Jeez. Meddle up your political ass.
Make America Danzig again. He says, "Anyway, I love the tangents you guys have been going on. Movies, Michael Jackson, tour stories, etc. As a fellow appreciator of art and entertainment, I say keep it up. Since Ethan mentioned Megadeth's Risk album, I went and listened to the first track, Insomnia, and laughed my ass off because I could just picture Clint's reaction to the chorus and found myself wishing for a new Insomnia Nia Dave impression from him. Wow.
Nah, that record is something.
Wow. Okay. Wow. That was fun. Okay. He says, Jason goes on to say, "Thanks for the covers EP and all the time and effort you guys put into the podcast every week. And congratulations on all the new listeners. Happy to be on the ride with you, Jason." Thanks, Jason.
Yeah, thank you, Jason.
Really sweet.
All right. Next email is from a longtime listener, Ken Hale. "Hey, fellas, just finished up the Garage Inc. episode and was wondering about how much of the songwriters receiving royalties for albums on an album like..." God, pardon me. My voice is hoarse. I played a show this week.
My voice is hoarse.
It's hoarse.
I ate horse this morning.
"How much the songwriters receiving royalties for songs on an album like Garage Inc. that sold 6 million copies? How does that process work? Once again, great episode." He also gave us his top five off Garage Inc. Disc 1, and it'd be Turn the Page, It's Electric. Sorry, number 5, Turn the Page. 4, It's Electric. Number 3, Merciful Fate. Number 2, Sabra Cadabra. Number 1, Astronomy.
Yeah, cool. That's like a really cool sort of mixture of both of our lists.
I will say this. Metallica went ahead and made a lot of people a lot of money.
Well, here's how it breaks down. As of, you know, I actually don't know what it was in 98, but as of 2005, 2006, if you own the publishing to a song that gets covered on a record, you get 9.1 cents per song per unit sold. So my wife and I, and meaning my wife and I, meaning my wife, not me, sort of did some of the math on that. So with 6 million records, that basically comes out to about $500,000. Now, if you're a band like, let's take the Misfits. They've got Green Hell and Last Caress on both Garage Inc. and the 590 ADP. So for two songs on a record that sold 6 million, you're looking at about $1 million. It's a bit more.
Yeah.
Now, that's assuming Glenn, whoever wrote the song, let's say it's Glenn Danzig.
It could have been Glenn. It could have been Doyle. It could have been, you know, Jerry Only.
So let's just say, for simplicity, that Glenn Danzig wrote those two songs. He's the sole writer. Now, if you assume he owns all of his publishing, then he gets $1 million for Garage Inc. But in many cases, songwriters do not own all their publishing.
Correct.
And in many cases, from back in the day, like, let's say the Misfits are a band starting out and they literally have nothing and they sign on with a publisher. They sign a publishing deal. And the publisher says, hey, you guys are poor and starving and need tour support. Tell you what, we'll buy the publishing for, what was the record, Earth AD or whatever?
You sure? Yeah, that one, yeah.
We'll give you $20,000 to own the publishing of that song forever. When you're poor and you have no idea if Last Caress is ever going to mean anything to anyone, $20,000 is looking pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Fast forward however many years later, and Metallica's putting that shit on a record that sells 6 million copies.
And you're like, fuck.
You're getting none of that publishing.
Right.
Now, I know that like Sean Harris and Brian Tatler, some of the Diamond Head cats have come out and said, well, you know, I was able to buy a house with that.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they were. It just depends on who owns the publishing, and we don't really know. But it does shape out to basically $500,000 per song.
It's pretty crazy.
So you look at Motorhead, they got 5 tracks on there. You look at the Merciful Fate medley, you got 5 tunes.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how it works with a medley. Because it's not a full song.
Oh, another thing is you get you get an increase for any song over 5 minutes.
Well, there's a few on there.
So then you look at, now in addition to that, the side momentum that happens with that is Metallica does Last Caress on 590 ADP. They get all the publishing money. Plus, a lot of people are learning who the Misfits are and buying their records,
right, yeah,
going to their shows.
That's how I discovered the Misfits.
So it helps those bands in many other ways other than just the publishing.
Yeah.
But that's about how it breaks down.
Yeah.
So we worked this out too. I was like, so how much money did Metallica make from those records? And she was like, well, we looked at all the songs, which was like 20 songs. And so if every song's about $500,000, basically it costs them $10 million to pay out to other artists.
Yeah.
Now, if they sold 6 million copies at $20 a CD, then they made however much, millions of dollars.
Right, yeah.
So it really made a lot of sense economically for them too. Plus, Turn the Page, huge hit for them. Whiskey in the Jar, won a Grammy.
Yeah.
So that makes their brand big.
It's kind
too.
Of a win-win on both sides.
When a band's that big and influential and powerful, it was a way to say thanks to their heroes and also still have an economic machine that makes sense for them.
Right. I'm really hoping they cover one of my songs soon.
No shit. Although we're in the dark ages, so.
Yeah, true.
Okay, Ken. Right, thank you. Good Ken. Question. Hope I answered it for you. Chad Hogg writes, you used an interesting cliche in the intro to the most recent episode, and not for the first time. You said, we like to give back to the listeners. But the whole thing is you giving to the listeners. So thank you for all of it. That's a good point.
You know, you're right.
We give, and we give,
and we give,
and we fucking give. Okay. He says, I should have expected this having listened to the last couple of EPs Ethan put out, but Frayed Ends of Sanity as surf music was definitely the most out of left field track on Color I Wore Black in Volume 1. The whole EP has been really enjoyable to listen to. I can actually understand some of the lyrics for the first time, but not enough ooh yeahs though. Ooh.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, I plan on doing a song where I change all the lyrics to ooh yeah the whole time.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Like
give us an example.
Okay, so for instance, so if I did like Enter Sandman, for instance, I'd be like, ooh yeah, hey, ooh yeah, hey, ooh yeah, hey,
wow.
Ooh yeah, hey, hey. Pretty bitchin', right?
Can't imagine that getting old at all.
Not at all.
He says, I don't know what the gents from Discharge had in mind, but I've always interpreted the song Free Speech for the Dumb as using the traditional definition of the word free speech for those who are uniquely incapable of exercising that right, meaning like, people who can't speak.
Like literally can't speak?
Like deaf, dumb, and blind.
Right.
He says, that's a more interesting lyrical statement to me anyway. I actually disagree. I think it's less interesting to say free speech for people who can't speak and more interesting to say free speech for people who might say things that I disagree with.
Yes.
Which to me is the power of free speech. Free speech to for ideas that nauseate me.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that.
But like him, I don't know what the discharge guys had in mind.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe they really cared about the plight of deaf, dumb, and blind people. Free vision for the blind. He says, I know you love it when people correct your minor mistakes that you probably don't even remember saying in passing, but here goes. Johnny Van Zant was not the original vocalist of Lynyrd Skynyrd. All of their classic material was recorded by his brother, Ronnie.
Did we say that? I'm sure I did. Don't even remember that.
Well, it was me.
Okay.
Johnny, Ronnie.
Bobby.
Billy, Gene.
I think it was Scooter Van Zant, actually. Scooter Van Zant. Yeah. He's the other brother.
He says, here's, by the way, I do appreciate the correction. We don't want to have wrong shit out there.
And we only need to hear it one time. No need for 20 emails.
The thing is, people think they're the first one to correct us.
So yeah, they're like, wait a second. I'm 5 days late listening to the episode. I better email them now.
We still get YouTube comments from episodes from 8 months ago. Saying, you know, Outlaw Torn was on SNM. No shit, dude.
By the way, you're incorrect.
Here he says, here's my top five of Garage Inc. Disc 1 for today, at least. Number 5, It's Electric. Number 4, Merciful Fate. 3, Free Speech for the Dumb. Number 2, Whiskey in the Jar. Number 1, The More I See.
The More I See, nice.
Cool. Thanks, Chad.
Thank you so much, Chad. Next email is from Louis Lima, a new patron, by the way. Hello, mates.
Hello.
Hello, mates. Louis Lima here. Just to say, again, thank you for the show and all the things you provide for us. To celebrate this, I became a patron, listening right now to Cover Our World Blacken, and it's amazing. I love the way you reimagine the songs. Cheers, dudes. Hope for volume 2 soon. Well,
it's happening.
It's going to happen, yeah. I've already begun work on one song, and I've got ideas for another one, but I got to finish some of my music first before I dive into this.
You go-getter.
I'm just like so into music right now.
I love music.
It's like all kinds of music. It's great.
I toured with a drummer. You'll dig this story. Tour with the drummer, and this is when we were sharing hotel rooms, right? And this was on an 8-week tour. Now, let me tell you what happens on an 8-week tour. By week one, woohoo, fun. This is fun.
We're on the road.
Week two, still fun, but this is work, man. This is my job. This is what I do. Week 3 through 8, barely speaking to each other. Week 5, complete insanity. Like, I've completely sucked into a black hole in my mind. Ne'er to emerge. Other than that 90 minutes on stage.
Spending so much time in your bunk.
So, I'm rooming with our drummer. And this was his move. And I hated it. Is whatever room we were in, he liked to DJ that room. So he'd have the laptop open, Bluetooth speaker, just playing songs. And this is the move he would pull. I'd be like, 'cause he would even do this and then leave the room. So we just realized, like, we're listening to, like... whatever it was. Yeah. And I'm like, why are we listening? Who's playing this music? I'm not going to say his name. The dude is not even in the fucking room. But so the way I would kind of deal with it passive aggressively is I would look at him and I would say, put your earbuds in, homie. I would just motion to my ears like.
That seems pretty direct.
Earbuds. Well, I should have just said, hey, man, would you mind? But instead I was kind of like, hey, earbuds.
I feel like passively would be like, so you can be playing songs for a while or
real fun. We're listening to music again.
Yeah.
We're listening to your music again. So anyway, I would do, hey man, let's put your earphones.
Clint's tapping his ears right now to motion.
And
that.
This was his move back to me. Oh, sorry, man. I love music. I guess I just love music. I'm like, you fuck.
You still love music.
You think I don't love music, you dickhead, giving my whole life to it. But for me to love music, I have to listen to your goddamn bullshit every day.
Right. We put on Injustice for All, please.
Guess how well all of that went.
Oh, I'm sure it went well, especially week 7.5.
Because he's in his own nightmare black hole. Right. All right. I don't really know why I started saying that. Oh, because I love music.
I love music.
Okay. Daniel Kozachuk, who is one of our new patrons, writes, a letter of appreciation to the best Metallica podcast ever. Aw.
Aw.
How's it going, guys? It feels so weird to be emailing you after listening to you two discuss one of our favorite bands for so long. Your fan interaction and inclusion in each episode has made this podcast feel so much more personal than any other I've listened to. I just want to say I love what you guys are doing and was so psyched to find you a few months back thanks to Tom from Alpha Metallica. Very nice. Cool. Very cool. Thanks, Tom. Thank you. Hold on. Thank you, Daniel. And thank you, Tom. For working together.
Teamwork.
To bring all of our worlds together. He says, I was beginning to dive deeper into Metallica when I discovered your podcast, and I have to say that you've provided a treasure trove of unique knowledge that has satisfied and continues to satisfy my interest of all things Metallica. Currently listening to the Kill 'Em All Deluxe box set episode, and it's another killer episode per usual. Couple of side notes. Back in the day, my older brother introduced me to this awesome band called the OC Supertones and some other ska bands like Five Iron Frenzy, and I still have a soft spot for all ska. I think the first time, for those of you who don't know, Ethan was in the OC Supertones.
Yeah, ska band.
He says, I think the first time I actually heard Creeping Death in its entirety, I thought to myself, oh, they ripped off the Supertones intro riff.
We talked about this.
Only to realize my own supremely erroneous ways. Also, I think I saw you, meaning Ethan, playing drums with Reliant K at Warped Tour at the Shoreline Amphitheater in Mountain View, California in 2011. Not that you'd necessarily remember that show specifically. If that was you, you crushed it for sure.
I do remember that show specifically.
Tell me something specific about it.
I do remember that show because... the artist, who's actually a Nashville artist, hip-hop guy named Yellow Wolf, he was on that tour. And in the parking lot, this other guy who was a total, like, everyone kind of considered him a piece of shit. This guy named Johnny Craig. He was, like, on drugs and, like, just would fuck people over. And I didn't know him, but I just...
Sounds real chill.
Sounds like a good guy, right?
Yeah.
He was a huge fan of Yellow Wolf. And me and our tour manager, called Jenny, watched him walk over to Yellow Wolf to, like, meet him. And did something where he was hammered or whatever and, like, stumbled into him. And Yellow Wolf open-handed slapped him across the face.
Oh.
And he started crying.
He cried?
Yes.
Like, okay, so
it was like it was like awesome and also very sad.
Well, hold on. Like a shameful sort of one tear or like sobbing.
Oh no, he was like, I just wanted to meet you. Like I was kind of chuckling at it.
It is sad.
But it was, I also kind of like had a little sympathy for this dude because his life was a wreck. That guy could be totally straight and clean now. I have no idea. But back in 2011.
That slap might have changed his life, actually. Turned it all around.
Yeah.
This one time Yellow Wolf slapped me.
It really turned me around, man.
He says, Clint, having only truly listened to Metallica's first four albums for years, I've just recently come online with the Black Album and it's amazing. Your persistent defense of Load and Reload has made me go back and check them out. And I have to say, I've been converted. At least for a couple of songs. As someone who embraces risk-taking in music, i.e. bands like Mr. Bungle, a profoundly strange band from the mind of Mike Patton, and bands that truly evolve, I'm not sure why I hadn't let Metallica do that themselves. That's an astute observation.
Yeah. I back it.
And good God, if I'm getting people to listen to Load and Reload and maybe come around a little bit, then I've done my job.
I mean, your work is done.
He says, also, I'm a big fan of the ever-expanding cast of characters on the show. Keep them up for sure. As a musician myself, I love the unique insight you two bring to the table when discussing all things Metallica, and I can't wait for the gear episode. Just recently became a patron of the show, thank you. And I hope you guys keep putting in the time and hard work it takes to keep the show rolling in the midst of each of your own busy schedules. See, this dude is sensitive.
Oh yeah, he's going deep.
He says, if you guys are ever in the San Francisco area, beer, wine, and an Argentine asado, which is a big barbecue, could be in your future. And maybe some jam time, a surf, or a session at the local skate park.
Oh, done. I'll do that.
Thanks again for all your hard work, and I look forward to listening to each episode. Cheers and God bless. Daniel from Burlingame, California, USA, New Jersey. What a really sweet email,
yeah,
man.
Very sweet. That's awesome.
Very cool.
All right. Our next email is from Mark Cleaver. He says, hello, I've listened to every episode the day they came out since the podcast birth. Wow, that's cool. And look forward forward to and enjoy every one. But the Garage Inc. episode was by far my favorite episode. I suppose that has a lot to do with the fact that you spend so much time discussing John Davis from top to bottom. It was just great. Just a great show. Thank you. Speaking of John Davis, I know I've mentioned multiple times to Ethan, but now that I know that both of you are friendly with the man, I'm going to start saving up for a trip out to Nashville, and I'm going to buy you guys a ton of beers, and we're going to go hang out with Mr. Davis, okay? I hope this is copacetic with you and Mr. Davis.
Hey, John. Real quick.
This dude's going to come out.
What are you doing next Saturday? Because yeah, and, we have a real treat.
And John's sober, so he's not going to partake in this beer drinking. he says, Superdex is one of my favorite bands. Head Trip and Every Key and Valiadyne Stars. Top 10 albums for me. I mean, those are fucking great records.
Yep.
And Lees and Memory is certainly my favorite newer band. Three perfect records already. That's true. John is an amazing songwriter, which we've talked about. And yeah.
We've gone on and on about old Johnny.
My first apology is for Clint. Oh, hey, what's going to be? After hearing about your panic attack on the way back from Schneider West Coast tour, I began to wonder if I had to do with all of my record store recommendations directions. If that is the case, I'm sorry. I had a great time hanging out with you at the Doug Fir, and I hope hanging out, God damn it, hang out again someday. So no more record stores will be discussed. I hope not, however, that we can continue our conversation about Rufus Wainwright. He's great, by the way.
Yeah, I remember that. So Mark came to the Portland show at the Doug Fir. Several other listeners of the show came, Nick Garcia, Michael Grosvenor, another dude came, I can't think of his name right now. Eric Thomas. I can't think of it. Anyway, it was cool. Like, we were all having this big talk. It was a sold out show, though. It was kind of stressful, and I was trying to juggle it all. And like, yeah, we started talking about Rufus Wainwright. I didn't know you were a fan. You a big Rufus fan?
I wouldn't say I'm a big fan, but I think he's insanely talented. I love his voice.
Just really the two records that you got to check out are Poses and Want One. Those two records are just...
Yeah.
Okay, anyway. Oh, and I did have a panic attack. It wasn't anything to do with his record store recommendations. Yeah. I do not know where it sprung from.
You were on the flight. It's like, oh, which one do I go to? I'm freaking out. I goes on to say, Ethan, I'm sorry for assuming that my memory is correct in thinking that you were in Dear Mr. Peterson. Okay, side note. This was a local band that me and my buddy Zach and Sky Jung and my friend Rich had back in California, like when I wasn't really on tour.
So you were in this band?
Yes. We were kind of like in the Jimmy World kind of vein, maybe.
Okay.
Are you listening?
I think we recorded maybe six songs or something, like a little EP. But I was in this band. We never went on tour. We never, I think our music was literally on mp3.com.
Wow.
Like, that's what era this was, like late 90s.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I didn't even know what uploading was. My friend had to do it for me. I had no idea what that word was.
Wow.
I was like, what do you mean upload? I really had no idea.
I would love to be a fly on the wall of him trying to explain that.
Oh, I can remember it so vividly.
Because trying to explain to someone what the fucking internet is.
Yeah. I could go online and stuff, but I was like, wait, our music's going to be on the internet?
Yeah, we uploaded it.
I'm going to upload it for you. I'm like, what does that mean? He's like, you know, you download something? I was like, kind of. I don't know. Like,
kind of.
He says, I've not been able to find out any information on said band to confirm this. However, if you were in DMP, please let me know so that I can finally lay this issue to rest. Well, I'm sorry it's a big issue, but I can help you once and for all. Yes, I was in that band.
Mark can finally sleep again at night.
Mark Cleaver. Yeah, it was a decently short-lived band, and we played local shows, and that was about it.
Well, there we go.
Yeah, it was cool. That was fun.
Another unsolved mystery cracked.
Yeah, anyways, he goes on to say, I should include a little bit about Metallica and Pusshead. There was a kid in my fourth grade class that would always wear metal shirts. One of my first memories of Metallica is the shirts that the kid would wear. I don't remember exactly which designs they were, but I do remember that they were rather scary. Probably Pusshead. Those in his collection of Iron Maiden / Eddie shirts, should a 10-year-old child be wearing these? Sure. I just considered, and the answer is yes. This is the United States of America.
Presumably,
yeah. A 10-year-old in 1988 can indeed wear shirts that give his classmates nightmares. I think that's it. My final apology should be for how long this message is. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, Ethan, I just saw you in the Why Should the Devil Have All the Good Music documentary on YouTube. You're famous. God, I don't even remember that.
I have no idea what that is.
I really like you. Appreciate your podcast. Blah, blah, blah. Mark Cleaver. Thank you, Mark, for the email. And geez, Mark's just digging into my past.
The locks on your door.
I think what it was like a kind of low budget documentary about Christian music, like the Christian music scene.
Right.
I'm pretty sure it's when I was playing with Demon Hunter.
Okay.
And me and our bass player, John Dunn, got interviewed literally for like 10 minutes at a festival in the middle of a field.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just us saying a couple lines. I don't know. It's been a while. Now I'm going to have to go look it up. Thanks, Mark.
All right, Mark, cool.
Why should the devil get all the good music?
Well, I've been thinking about it now, and I was wondering, why the devil get all the good music? See? I like Striper. I ride up and down the road all the time, blasting to hell with the devil. The yellow and black attack.
That's
see?
Right, man.
You got your Petra, you got your Strapper.
Strapper.
You got your Damon
Tourniquet.
Got your Damon Hunter.
You got your Deliverance.
Well, you got your Deliverance. Good film, Deliverance.
Vengeance Rising.
Yeah, we like all that.
You got The Crucified.
Oh, The Crucified. Stave Sacre. Living Sacre Guys. Project 87. Living Sacre Guys. Living Poltergeist.
Bruce is going to love that, by the way.
Oh, he'll love it, yeah.
Our next email is from our friend, the rock and roll metal lawyer, Nick Roller. It says, having fully digested your EP, below are my thoughts, as if you required them in the first place. We didn't, but we'd like to hear them. Number one, Fixer. Great cover. Really conveys the emotional lyric. I feel it in a way the original just doesn't have. Can't say anything bad about it. Okay. Two, Frayed Ends of Sanity. Ethan is clearly the more adventurous of the pair on the CP.
Ooh, take that, Clint.
Where Clint, I think, comes across as striving to be more faithful to the original compositions, especially on an emotional level. This is a good example of the former. I love the swagger. Very much reminds me of a Social Distortion tune, which brings up what I see as a missed opportunity. Would have liked to hear the chorus explode more. I think the song cries out for a little more energy, and to be honest, Holy Pea could have benefited from that on the song. Nonetheless, a killer track.
I can agree with Nick. I maybe should have done that, but I also kind of just like the consistent chill vibe going through it. Maybe, you know, I add a harmony on the chorus, add some tambourine, open up the drums a little bit.
I will say for me, I wasn't missing anything like that, but obviously respect the opinion.
Sure.
I'm not a really a bit... Well, I don't listen to that song as much as the other ones on Justice, so I didn't really have a big tether to it. Three Low Man's Lyric, there isn't much to say about it. An intensely faithful cover, which makes perfect sense given how much I know Clint loves the track. There isn't anything about the cover that's surprising or even much different from the original, and that's perfectly okay. Clint's reverence for the track is front and center. Four, The Outlaw Torn kills, a cover that perfectly embodies the soul of the original. Wouldn't have been surprised at all to hear this make an appearance on SOA if it was still running. I don't know what that is.
Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, okay, right on.
Nick, I agree with that. Clint's version could totally be on Sons of Anarchy.
Well, let's get that sync money.
Well,
let's fucking do it.
The show's not on the air anymore.
Little Transition licks were very nice. Number five, Unforgiven 3. I'm not particularly partial to the original. I would say my feelings to both are fairly equal. I don't hate it, but I don't love it either. Ethan does provide a great vocal. True.
All right, fine.
He right. Six, Unnamed Feeling, crushed it, plain and simple. Also caught a Kurt Vile vibe, which is cool. I don't listen to Kurt Vile, and I've actually been really grumpy at him, and it has nothing to do with him.
Okay.
One of my favorite current singer-songwriters is a chick named Courtney Burnett.
Okay.
Who sort of exploded into my world about 2 years ago. She's Australian, plays electric guitar, great songwriter.
Cool.
I've been waiting for a new fucking Courtney Burnett record for a long time now, and she just did like... She's in this new project where it's her and Kurt Vile.
Oh, so Kurt Vile's like distracting her from making a new record.
Yes. And guess what I don't want to hear? Her and fucking Kurt Vile's new, like they're like became best friends. I think she's gay, but maybe they're in love. I don't know.
Yeah.
But let him make his goddamn records and let her, I'm ready for a new Courtney Burnett record.
Even though we're talking about a record that you and I made together.
Yeah, but sure. Well, true. Point taken. Number seven, Sanitarium. All caps, this was sick. Easily my favorite track. Throws you for such a killer loop, proof that it pays to be as radically different as possible sometimes. How Ethan had this idea, I'll never know, but goddamn it, I love it. Overall, awesome job, guys. Can't wait for the next one. Metallica would be proud. I know as a diehard fan, I definitely was. I found myself belting these out from the moment I heard them. Love, your friendly neighborhood heavy metal lawyer, Nicholas D. Roller, J.D. Esquire, A.S.S.H.O.L.E.
Well, I can tell you how I thought of it. One thing I love doing whenever I'm like stuck on my own songwriting is picking a song I love, figuring it out, and then changing it to the opposite key. Like if it's major, put it to minor, and so forth. So I've done this quite a few times. Like I've got a couple singles I put on my Bandcamp page. Like I did the Ramones Rockaway Beach, which is normally like A major and kind of happy sounding. I did an A minor, made it kind of darker. So that was the thing I've done with multiple Metallica songs, which you'll probably hear again in the future, is most Metallica songs are in minor keys. And the melody of Sanitarium on that verse, especially, I sing pretty much the exact same melody and it works in G major.
Yeah, cool.
And so that was just the idea. At first, I remember with my buddy Jeff from the Spanish Hillbilly Casino in town, we were doing it as a joke one night, just cracking ourselves up. Like, this is hilarious how you can make these songs like sound like country songs.
It's weird that it kind of started off as like a funny experiment. But yeah. I find it emotionally pretty resonant.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, man.
Oh, you.
See my friend and you'll see, dream is my reality.
Yeah, that's fun.
We're doing a whole bonus episode this month, by the way, on the EP. We were going to play clips of it and sort of talk about how we recorded it. And so,
right, yeah.
Look forward to that.
Yeah, our last email is from Jerry Cody. It says, hello, gents. First of all, what a kick-ass EP. Everything from the cover art to the songs. Well worth the wait. Both of you are amazing musicians. I listen to it on repeat. I enjoy other people's interpretations of music. You both took the songs and made them yours. Just amazing. What made you decide what direction to take the songs, and why did you choose the songs you two covered? Thanks again for everything you give to us and the fans. Keep with great work. And then once again, amazing EP. It will be in my playlist for a long time. Thanks, Jerry.
Cool. Thanks, Jerry.
Well, I kind of talked about Sanitarium and stuff, but I think for me, just to keep it short and sweet, I just picked three songs that really just resonate with me that I've always loved that, you know, I think for me, Unforgiven 3 was my favorite of the batch I did.
Mm-hmm.
That song I've always loved since Death of Magnetic came out. Still love it. Love the lyrics. Love the chord changes. You know, just love the feel of it.
Yeah. I think mine might be Fixer. Just I love the lyric, and it was fun to just distill it. All of mine are really, except for Low Man's Lyric, which is pretty similar, just real distillations of what I emotionally feel the song to be. Anyway, we're going to go into more depth on that on the actual episode about the EP. Now, if you've been hearing about the EP and you're curious about it, head on over to Patreon, and you can immediately download it if you pledge $5 or more. That's $5 a month. That's two cups of coffee a month to be on the ride with us at that level, get access to the EP.
Right, yeah.
There's other shit, too. Like, we got some new merch this week that that was offered to the patrons first, some limited edition merch.
Yeah.
The cover album of our artwork, which everyone's been rightly so freaking out about, which Nick Makoviak did, had nothing to do with us. We're trying to find a way to do either a limited run of shirts of that or stickers or buttons. That will be offered to the patrons first.
Yes.
All right. And with that, that concludes the emails. Let's get out of here. All right. So we were going to talk to Wayne, and that hasn't worked out. So we're just going to sort of talk through what's been going on with the boys.
Yeah, there's a little bit of news happening. I mean, they just picked back up the World Wired Tour in Lisbon, and then did Madrid last night. As you're listening to this episode, they're playing again tonight for a second night in Madrid. But yeah, so, you know, we want to kind of go back just, I mean, we're only, God, barely two, you know, a month and a half into the new year. But a couple things cool have happened while the band was off. One thing I'm kind of stoked about is Reissue World.
Yeah.
On January 24th, Metallica announced the Reissue Remastered 598 EP.
Yeah.
The Garage Days Revisited. And this one's, but this one's not going to be like a full on box set like the
album. This is just a reissue of the record.
It's a reissue, but there's multiple formats it's going to be out on: CD, download, vinyl, picture disc, cassette, and a CD long box.
Whoa, remember old those? School. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And what was really cool, it comes out April 13th, by the way.
Cool.
There's no extra tracks, no extra bonus stuff like all the other stuff. It's just what it is, but remastered and that picture disc would be bitching too.
You know what's cool is, and I think they offered an orange vinyl of it too. And what's cool is I pre-ordered it as soon as I was able to. And because it's like $15.
Yeah.
Sarah Sobeck wrote in and said she accidentally got an extra one that she's donating to the show to give
Nice.
To give out to a listener.
Very cool.
So Sarah, thank you. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Another listener, our friend Tiffany, has offered up the action
the McFarland Harvester of Sorrow toys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, she has said that we can keep them or donate them on the show.
I took myself out of this.
Because you already have them.
I have them.
Now.
So, it's up to you, dude.
Do I keep them or do I? Maybe I'll keep, just hold on to them for a minute and then we'll give them out like this
hold
summer.
On to them and put them up, enjoy them.
Yeah.
You know, spend some time with them and then maybe pay it forward. I don't know.
But needless to say, anyone who listens to the show who has reached out in that way and tried to help provide us with more incentives for listeners, it just makes me proud to be a fan.
Yeah,
and it makes
for
me
sure.
proud of the fans we have.
Yeah.
Or we've had people write in and say, hey, if we win the box set or if we win the vinyl in the weekly, in the monthly contest, we want you to just give it to another listener.
Yeah.
Either they already have it or they just want to pay it forward.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So that's very cool.
One thing that I thought was really cool when I was reading about this little news thing about this release was we know the Justice box set is coming. The band has emailed their email list about submitting stuff. But it was really, I got really excited when I read this, because it was a hint at the Justice box set, and the quote was, "The reissue series will continue this year. We'll let you guess what's next." And we all know what's next. But just to see that confirmation of this year, you know?
Right.
And we're now in the 30th anniversary year of Injustice for All.
It is weird that, like, because the Puppets one just came out, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if, like, their intention initially was, like, on the 30th anniversary kind of thing. But man, I'm so excited for
me
that
too.
One.
Me too. And we're going to be doing our review of the next in our series of the box sets. We're going to be doing the Ride the Lightning box set probably in the next month or so.
Yeah, for sure.
Those are kind of big undertakings, though.
They are. Yeah,
Kill 'Em All episode was there was a lot going on. With
that. I don't think Clint and I quite realized like the hole we dug when we decided to do that one. We're like, oh, but now it's, you know, it's good, you know, knowing that going forward.
Let's talk about the boys not winning the Grammys.
The non Grammy award winning Atlas.
Fuck, man.
Grammy loser.
Grammy loser. That sounds even better.
Wait, did Jethro Tull win again this year?
I was kind of surprised.
Yeah,
me too. At least one of them.
Was it Mastodon?
No. So
did Mastodon win?
So they were.
Oh, you have it right here.
Yeah, they were nominated for Best Rock Song and Best Rock Album. So the Foo Fighters beat them out, beat out Atlas Rise for Best Rock Song, and then the War on Drugs, a Deeper Understanding record, beat out Hardwired for Best Rock Album.
Which is weird, man, because War on Drugs is like...
That's a great record. I don't know if you listened to it or not. It's a really cool record.
Huge fan.
Yeah, great record.
Own that dude's records on vinyl.
It's
not a rock record, though, is it?
I wouldn't call Hardwired a rock record. Called a metal record.
Right.
the metal categories are not even televised anymore.
Right.
You know, like when Megadeth won last year, it was just like you saw the clip later.
And they came out to the band playing Master of Puppets. Good God. That dude cannot catch a fucking break.
I know.
Well, I'm a fan of Foo Fighters, a fan of War on Drugs. It would have been nice to have added another Grammy.
Right, yeah.
Which, you know, the Foo Fighters won several Grammys themselves.
Sure, yeah, of course. I mean, cool for the War on Drugs, like younger band, to be able to get that honor and that award.
Yeah, that's fine.
I don't even know if the band was there. I have no idea.
I wonder at that level, because they have to decide to go and make arrangements to, like, sit there all night.
Right, yeah.
I wonder if there's some sort of, like, a producer or someone's like, hey, you should probably, wink, wink, be there this year.
Right, yeah.
Or if they're like, hey, look, we're in the middle of a tour. We want to be with our families. We're on 2 weeks off. Do we need to be at this fucking thing? And they may have someone be like,
a little insider going, yeah, don't worry about coming. Yeah. Well, I mean, and seeing how like active, you know, their social media is these days. I mean, if they were there doing red carpet stuff and being interviewed, we would have seen that, you know,
right.
If they were, I mean, I didn't actually watch the Grammys, so
I can't stomach it.
Yeah.
Couldn't do it.
I was at home. I decided, you know, I'm gonna actually try to make some music tonight while that show was on.
Right.
And then I got a text that my category, I didn't win for the reggae album I played on.
Well, it's cool you were nominated.
You know, I can still change all my bios to Grammy Award nominee.
Yeah, dude, it's not too late.
Yeah.
Well, what's going on? So we mentioned the shows in Lisbon and Portugal.
Yeah, so
they did Lisbon and Madrid.
Yeah, night two of Madrid is technically tonight.
Right.
The opening band I checked out, and they're kind of cool. They're a Norwegian metal band. God, I don't know how to really pronounce this.
Kvelertak?
Kvelertak?
Oh man!
But they're kind of cool. It wasn't when I saw like they were a Norwegian band. I was like, oh, this is going to be fucking crazy. But it was like at least the song I listened to was like the first video that popped up when I searched for them, like one of their singles or whatever. It was almost like this kind of like poppier metal, kind of more riffy kind of thing. Like maybe not the darkness, but like a repetitive cool riff. But then the guy kind of screams over it. They're kind of rad.
Were they getting a good response from? Oh wait, you didn't see. You saw this their thing.
This
on
is
YouTube.
Like their official music.
I wonder
video.
If they're getting a good response.
I don't know.
Metallica,
but yeah, but pretty cool. I mean, this is what's cool about the dudes in the band too. It's like maybe these guys bought on the tour. Maybe Metallica wanted them. Maybe a bit of both. But Metallica always shows love to younger bands. Mm-hmm. To maybe bands less known. They're clearly less known than Metallica.
Right.
Yeah. So pretty cool. Yeah. One cool thing that happened. In Lisbon, Portugal, was it Rob Trujillo and Kirk Hammett during the noodle portion of the set?
The noodles.
Which is our favorite.
Yummy.
Well, I like Rob's because it's anesthesia. But they do, and this is something I had no idea about. I didn't even know this artist or anything. So they did a cover of a song. I'm going to probably mispronounce it, but I think it's Zutos and Pontapes. That's the name of the artist. And the song was Amina Kasinha. But anyways, this band, Zutos and Pontapes, were a rock band who were crazy huge in the Portuguese rock scene throughout the from the late 70s on. And I guess Trujillo just dedicated the song to the guy Zé Pedro, who just died in December. Mm. So they have this big Portuguese rock band. And I watched the live footage of their doodle and them doing that. And Robert's singing it.
What?
And the entire arena is singing along with him. So this band was huge, apparently. Right. So if you're Portuguese and you listen to our show, write in and tell us all about this band. I'd love to know more.
Well, it does seem like whatever city they're in, they try to do something like, you know, what was it they did in Detroit?
It was something that had to do with like Motown, and it wasn't great.
And then when they were it was real bad. Yeah. But in Manchester, they did Don't Look Back in Anger, which I thought was cool. I'm a pretty big Oasis fan.
Sure.
Great songwriters.
Speaking of, did you see that old Noel and Liam are cool now?
Well, I have a friend who's like way in deep with, has been our whole lives with Oasis.
Yeah.
So he's always my read between the lines guy.
Sure.
So when I see something going down, I know he's more caught up.
Right.
So as soon as I saw that, whenever it was, I wrote, hey, Noel and Liam, like they made up. And he just wrote back, they're already fighting again.
I'm sure they are.
It was like literally that day. He was like, it's all over.
I still kind of think that their whole dramatic entity that is the Gallagher brothers, I still think it's all just...
Is this a 25-year trolling?
Either that, or my theory was that like they'll tweet shit and talk shit in the press, and then they're on the phone every night giggling like brothers.
Right.
Like, dude, they love it. They're buying right
into
it.
We're selling all of our solo records.
Exactly, yeah. They're going to love it when we reunite in 5 years.
I will say the dude I'm talking about got me hip to Liam's latest solo record.
It's pretty cool.
It's really, really good.
Yeah, it's really good.
Damn.
I got to see him live last summer at a festival in Europe, yeah.
Cool.
And stood side stage, and my goodness, that dude has his vocal in his wedges. Doesn't wear in-ears, doesn't wear earplugs. He's on stage. It was like a hot summer day in a parka jacket, as he does.
He always wears a parka.
Oh, yeah. And he kept looking at the monitor guy, like putting his finger in the air, like turning up his vocal more. And I was on the side of the stage, maybe 50 feet away from like the first band member on stage. And I was plugging my ears because his vocal was that loud.
Unbelievable.
You couldn't hear
it. Must be hard to tour with him.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Just
I'm
for
sure.
that reason.
My friend guitar techs for the guitar player and bass player, I believe, mm-hmm. With Liam's band. I mean, it was still a good show, but like, dude, it was loud.
I mean, I saw Oasis on the Standing on the Shoulders of Giants tour, which is my favorite record of theirs. It's their definitely maybe What's the Story, Be Here Now. It's their fourth record.
Yeah.
And the crowd was crazy, man. That I think I've talked about this before, where when they hit the deck, everyone got so compacted that I couldn't move my arms up.
Right.
And when the crowd would move, you would just move with it. And at the time, I was wearing Birkenstocks.
Ooh.
I was a big Dave Matthews Band fan.
Wow, okay.
Hemp necklace.
Of course.
Frosted tips.
Wow.
Wearing Birkenstocks. And
God, find a photo of this, please.
The crowd moved, and like Birkenstocks, gone. It's like shoes, gone.
Yeah. Yeah. It, from like the stage perspective, it looks like the ocean, like the tide moving. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I lasted maybe two songs, and I was like, I'm going to die.
Yeah.
And when I got out of that, I was doing the whole, like, as I was trying to get out of it, doing like promising God shit, you know, like, if I just get out of this, man, I promise I'm going to, whatever the list
go back
is,
to church.
I'll just do whatever, you know, like,
I'll get
shit together. I'll get back on the Yellow and Black Attack.
That's right.
But while I was in that and I couldn't move my arms, someone's crowd surfing. Wearing Doc Martens, and I could just see it. I was like, I'm going to get hit in the face with a boot. And they come over here, of course, boot hits my face. Can't even put my hand up to rub my face. Where it was just a pure nightmare.
Just rubbing against someone's shoulder. Help me.
I got Doc One Martin. Cheek is swelling up.
Yeah. Well, let's kind of do a quick run through of the two set lists they've played so far. Before we get into the old Blake Talica segment and Metal Madness.
It's the typical arena. We can actually say this now. They've done enough arena shows of the World Wired Tour. It's the typical slots are changing. Of course, Seek is up at the top of the set
rather
than at the end. And then the fourth track is a rotating slot.
It's kind of like the deep cut slot.
It's a deep cut.
But fourth is pretty ambitious, I think. So like
I agree.
So in Lisbon, they did Harvester of Sorrow. And in Madrid, they did Leper Messiah.
I like Harbor of Sorrow quite a bit more than Leper.
Yeah.
But I feel like Leper Messiah is the bigger treat.
I think so.
It's rarer.
Yeah, yeah. I love that Sanitarium's in the set list now.
Have they been? So that they did that both nights in the same slot. So
yeah.
Fade to Black is out.
Yeah, okay. So Fade to Black is not in here, or The Unforgiven.
Oh, shit.
Isn't that crazy?
Wait, neither is Rome.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, dude, they're playing, I think it's, was it seven off Hardwired? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
You're right. No Unforgiven and no Rome.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But it's still a kick-ass set list.
So I'm glad now that we're dead still there. Then it seems like there's a Hardwired slot.
You know what else is still there? The Drum Jam.
I haven't checked in. I haven't dipped in.
It's still there. Oh, no need to dip in. We've seen it.
Yeah, I'm cool. Dream No More, then the next night was Confusion. I would rather see Dream No More, but both win for me. Who in the Bell Tolls, Halo and Fire. Then we got the Doodles. Then we got the cover slot.
Yep.
Lisbon and Am I Evil. Madrid, Die My Darling. I think I'd rather see Am I Evil. I've seen Die My Darling.
I've never seen him do Die My Darling, so I would love to see that.
It's cool. But, you know, it's short and fast. I feel like Am I Evil is a longer, like, journey. Yeah.
And then we have another possibly rotating slot, Creeping Death in Lisbon, Fuel.
That was the same rotating slot as before, except it was track four.
Okay. So here's what's crazy. In Madrid, no Creeping Death, no Unforgiven. What was the other one you mentioned?
Rome.
No Wherever I May Roam.
Yeah.
No Fade to Black.
Wow.
And that seems insane.
I'd rather see Fade than Sanitarium. But I know it's tough.
Yeah, it is tough.
I mean, they moved Moth way down. Moth and Sad are way down now.
Yeah.
And it's in the Seek and Destroy slot is Puppets. Then they come out for the encore, and in the what I've been referring to as the Thrash slot.
Yeah.
They've been fucking doing Spit Out the Bone.
Ever since they debuted, it's been in the encore.
I have noticed that James is laying out even more vocally. So before, the only thing Rob was really doing was the bleeding through our fragile skin. So, but now James is going,
come on to me and you feel vision.
And then he's not singing.
And then Rob.
No, it's just the crowd.
Oh, the crowd.
Come on to me and dedicate.
The early Tuning Room videos, they were just switching back and forth.
Right. Well, in the video I watched from Lisbon today, maybe Rob just hadn't gotten to a mic.
Yeah.
But he was definitely doing the melody I love.
Right. Yeah.
I wish they'd just try it where James is singing it.
The whole time.
And maybe have Rob double it.
Just give it a try.
Like, if they're worried about it not working, right, just double it,
yeah,
with Rob.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I will say, Rob sounded better on the one I heard today than he ever has.
That's good.
I think it's getting better.
It was a little rough sauce when he first started.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people when they sing, it sounds like they're speaking voiced almost.
Yes, he's like that.
Rob's is similar to that.
He's like that.
I don't love his singing voice.
But let's think about all the elements in place. One of the most difficult songs they've ever written.
Yeah.
One of the most requested songs. One of the harder melodies to sing. That's really high.
Yeah.
Bleeding through. I mean, it's just, there's just so many. And to just play it well and worry about that and worry about all the fans are fucking saying on YouTube.
Yeah.
I can see why he wants to get a few under his belt before he's really nailing that shit.
Totally. And of course, they with what they've been doing all the last year and a half, Nothing Else Matters and Enter Sandman.
Look, here's the deal, man. They're never going to, I mean, I don't see any way in the future from now on, arenas or stadiums, that they're not going to play those two songs last.
Yeah. I mean,
maybe
I could
Nothing
see
Else Matters for the before the encore.
Well, they've done that before, or they come back from the encore, Nothing Else Matters is first.
Right.
But, I mean, I could see him maybe doing Enter Sandman and then like putting a Creeping Death in at the end or something. But Enter Sandman is always going to be in the encore.
You know what would be really fucking cool? As if they came out and opened with Enter Sandman.
Pretty cool.
Just basically was like, we're not going to not play our most popular song, and I don't blame them.
But we're going to play it first.
But let's just fucking knock it out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they also have, God, I mean, the other singles just from that record alone were huge songs as well.
Unbelievable. It'd be cool to see a deep cut Black Album slot.
That would be really cool.
Don't Tread on Me, My Friend in Misery, God It Failed, Struggle Within.
Love to hear that.
Which, you know, before they took a break, they were doing Through the Never.
Yeah, they were.
In Europe. So, and I think maybe they did a Wolf of Man, too, which is pretty cool.
Got any wolves out there? Well, man, should we dive into our kind of new segment?
Yeah, we've done it once before. It was on our Hardwired episode.
We have a name for it, though.
Long. We called it Metal Madness.
Did we call it Metal Madness? Yeah. Jeez.
So we were really lucky to be able to reach out to our new friend Blake, and we had some fun. We pitted Master of Puppets versus Ride the Lightning. You can play along at home. You can yell and scream at us. You can do whatever you want. But let's jump into some Metal Madness.
Let's do it.
All right, and with us right now, we have our very special guest. He was at our Metal Up Your Podcast party a few weeks ago at the Cobra. We have our friend Blake Talica, who is the chapter head of the Frayed Ends of Tennessee, the Tennessee chapter of Metallica. How you doing, Blake?
What's going on, guys?
Is Talica your legal last name now?
If my wife would allow it.
Yeah, what do you have to do to do that? You have to like write a letter to James Hetfield. You have to have it notarized by Lars Ulrich.
Or Torben, probably.
Or Torben, yeah. Actually, it is Torben, yeah. He keeps a quill pen in his beard.
You have to go to Denmark to get it notarized.
And Blake, you're also, one of your claims to fame in the Metallica world is that you have the most Metallica tattoos. Have you ever been challenged on that? It's 32 tattoos, right?
It's 31, and no, I haven't.
Never been challenged.
Never been challenged. Okay, well, let's go ahead and declare him the winner.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and make that official.
Yeah, you heard it here first, folks.
When did you get your first Metallica tattoo, and then tell us about your descent into insanity, getting 30 more? Like, did you get your first one several years ago? Has this been like a long process over several years?
It's a pretty quick process considering I work at a tattoo shop. I can get pretty much any time I want a tattoo, I can get one. And I got one on my 18th birthday. Had to be Metallica.
And what was that one?
It's the Metallica star, but it's turned into a compass.
Mm. Oh, okay, very cool.
Pulled it from the So What book, the hardcover.
Okay, cool.
Awesome, yeah.
And did you give yourself any of these tattoos?
No, I don't tattoo. I just work at a tattoo shop.
Oh, okay. Right on. Right on.
Glorified secretary.
What's your favorite Metallica tattoo?
Either the tattoo I have of Lars that he just loved to death that got me a drumstick.
Nice.
Or my D-Han tattoo.
Ah.
Oh, nice. Dude, the one that I love, which I'm pretty sure is your newest one, is the one that's on your head, isn't the Moth and the Flame inspired one?
Yes, yes.
That one is sick. If you guys, I think you posted it on Instagram or something, but dude, yeah, you guys should go check out Blake Talica's Instagram and look at this tattoo. It's pretty beautiful.
So if you ever decide that you can't listen to My World ever again in your life, you can just grow your hair out. Oh, no, that's the Moth and the Flame one.
Yeah.
What's your St. Anger tattoo, though?
I've got the fist.
Yeah,
but that's nice. Cool. That's a puss head design. So
very cool. So 31. I mean, how many do you think you're going to get? Is this going to just drag out? I mean, you're going to
till I run out of space.
You're always going to be the winner in our book. So
our friend Ethan here is pretty much out of space. Aren't you?
I'm not
close to being
fully
out of space,
But this, some of the space I have left, I don't want to get tattooed.
You got the neck. You got the neck coming.
I do want my neck tattooed. I don't want my stomach tattooed.
Yeah.
But I do want. I still don't have a Metallica tattoo. We've talked about this before, but I do want to get one. I'm still not sure what it's going to be.
Do you want to hear my idea for my next Metallica tattoo?
Of course, yeah.
Nah. No, yeah. What is it?
I'm going to do it on my stomach. It's going to be Mount Rushmore, but the boys.
Ooh.
Now, who's going to be in the bass slot?
That's a question I haven't answered myself.
Oh, shit.
You should have to, like, you know, you could do like we're going to do our Metal Madness. Just like have three people vote on it.
Yeah, that's always an option.
Yeah.
If you had to get that tattoo like in the next 10 minutes, what would your gut feeling be if you had to just make the split decision? Don't even think about it.
Rob.
There we go.
Oh, there you go.
Giving some love to the current lineup as of what I believe last year, the longest standing bass player in Metallica.
See, I thought he was going to say Bob Rock.
No, he's going on my ass.
You're actually going to get a Bob Rock blouse tattooed on your upper body.
It is a good point that you bring up. Whenever we talk about the Pantheon Metallica bass players, Cliff, Chase, and Rob, no one ever mentions Bob Rock, who technically was Metallica's bass player, not only for the record, which he also
did shows.
He did some shows.
Yeah, he did. I know. I don't think he's necessarily credited in like the timeline of history as like an official bass player, but...
But unfairly so.
But you know
what?
You heard it here first. It's official, just like Blake's tattoo competition.
We're doing a lot of officials here.
Bob Rock was the third bass player of Metallica.
So, all right, Blake, you're the head of the Freight Into Tennessee chapter. Can you tell us a little bit about how that came to be and what your chapter's like and what do you guys go spelunking together or what do you guys do?
Actually, it's deep sea diving.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
It's not a hard process to start a chapter, you know, just. You go on the website, the Metallica website, you send in a form. You have to have, I think, at least 10 members. You give them the name, the artwork. They have to approve it. You get put on their website. You know, normally whoever starts the chapter is the chapter head. You give yourself the title. And you do what you want with it from there. They don't really help too much. You know, throw parties, make a flag, take them to shows, give them to the boys. Stuff like that.
And as we tweeted, I believe yesterday, or maybe that was even today, your flag is sort of heavily featured. It's definitely in all the tuning rooms.
Yeah.
And, you know, for those of you at home who keep up with the tuning room videos like I do, because I have no life outside of Metallica, you can see that flag pretty often.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, there's a photo. It was posted yesterday. It's like right behind James, and there's the big Freight Into Tennessee flag. And, Blake, I don't think you know this yet, but a good friend of mine who I did some touring with when I was working for Kings of Leon is now working for Metallica and in charge of setting up said tuning room. And he texted me yesterday a picture of your flag and he said, I pulled this one out and hung it up because it had Tennessee on it. So I told him like that we knew you and all that stuff. And so I was like, dude, I said, hang that thing up every day.
Well, we're going to try to sneak in and middle up your podcast flag in there. Yeah. They're like, hey, what is this? Or maybe just a big picture of my face, something quaint.
A huge Clinton Ethan flag hanging in the boys' tuning room would be cool.
So, Blake, describe for us what your flag, what the symbol is, and how did you come up with it, and who did it, and all that stuff.
Okay, I am not artistic at all. I can't draw to save my life. I found this guy on just through other chapters. His name is Renee Clement.
Mm-hmm.
He drew it up for us. Basically a scary guy with the state of Tennessee behind it holding an old school microphone, you know, kind of like the one James uses, but silver.
Yeah.
It's pretty bitchin' looking. We actually got a picture at our party of all of us holding it together.
Yep, yeah, we did.
That has since gone viral and reached, I don't know, a billion people.
At least dozens.
Last time I counted, it was a billion.
Yeah, I think I counted 13.
So, all right, Blake, so what's your Metallica story? Just briefly, like, how old were you when you got into him? What was the first record? Walk us through kind of your journey.
First Metallica experience, just finding them. 12 or 13, I had to, I would have to ride with my mom in her car while she would go tanning. And I'd just sit in the car and listen to whatever was on the radio. Well, just thumbing through her CD book, she had a copy of the Black Album.
Nice.
No idea what it was. Threw it in. and
which is the perfect soundtrack for a trip to the tanning salon.
Yeah,
by the way.
That covers None More Tan. Yeah.
Through the bronzer.
That's right.
But threw it in and instantly fell in love. And there was no turning back. It was Metallica or nothing.
Right.
That's awesome.
So do you have a special place like in your heart for that album because it was sort of when you came online, or did you quickly sort of move back into the early thrashier stuff? Where do you stand with the Load and the Reloads? What's going on with all that with you?
The way I look at it, when I discovered Metallica, due to my age, I'm only 25. I had everything in front of me,
mm-hmm.
other than Death Magnetic and Hardwired. So I appreciate every Metallica song there is. There's not a bad one, unless we're counting Lulu.
I don't think we're counting Lulu right now.
No, no.
Because it's trash.
Yeah.
But I love Load and Reload just because I'm a Southern boy at heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that is just James Hetfield's redneck going wild.
You know, I've never made that connection with myself personally. I'm also a Southern man, if you will.
A Southern man, yeah.
Born and raised in Birmingham, Alabama. And I wonder if that's what it is for me, too. Like, that kind of ballsy, bluesy...
The 2x4 and right. The house jacket.
Yeah, there's plenty of Southern rock influence on those records.
But even the Mama Said type, the more of the country flavor, that never bothered me.
No?
No, not at all.
Yeah, I do remember from the party you giving some love to... From what I can remember of the party, by the way.
Yeah, I don't remember much of it.
Yeah, I think me and Blake were maybe at the same level of intoxication at some point.
Yeah, yeah, you guys were definitely on par.
Although, Blake, you did you win the Name That Riff contest?
I did.
Yeah, yeah. He did, yeah.
Amazing.
Smashed.
What I remember, like, I could hardly listen to that episode just because of the shame, but what I do think was really funny about it is when we would play the riff, which it was really hard to hear the riff in that club because people were talking and stuff, but as your friends that you brought with you just giving you some shit, like, come on, Blake.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome. You had your cheering squad.
Yeah, absolutely. And the big one was drunker than anybody in that.
I don't know. I would go toe-to-toe with them, maybe. So if you had to pick a favorite Metallica record, no wrong answer, what do you think it would be? Or, like, what's your favorite right now?
Right now?
Mm-hmm.
I have been on a Hardwired kick.
Yeah, me too.
Love to hear that.
Oh yeah, I think Clint and I can both say this honestly, that since that record's come out, I haven't listened to another record more than that one.
Yeah, that's true for me.
Not at all.
I mean, I was listening on the way over here just like 10 minutes ago.
And it feels weird to say this, but isn't it so relieving that it's that good? Like, we're not just sort of soldiering through it because we love the band so much. Like, I do really think it's that good.
It's great.
I know that maybe like Tom Cui over at Alpha Metallica, we have some, you know, mutual friends who aren't as hot on it, but I think generally Metallica fans love this record.
Oh yeah, dude. I mean, they're playing 7 of those songs in their set right now.
Yeah.
7.
And that's, you know, I could do with the other ones.
Yeah.
All right. Well, okay. Let's one last question for you, Blake. If you did have to pick a favorite song, not what you think maybe is their best song or the song that best describes them, like, what's your favorite Metallica song? And again, subject to change, maybe just right now.
Fixer.
Hell yeah.
Fixer. Clint loves that.
Have you been able to hear our cover EP by any chance?
I haven't made it to it yet.
Oh,
I
gosh.
Need to. I just haven't had the chance.
You're in for a treat, my man.
Which we should say, by the way, Blake Talica is a patron of the show, which gives him access to the EP.
That's correct, yeah.
Well, let's get into this Metal Madness.
Yeah, it's time for a little tournament. It's going to be Ride Lightning versus Master of Puppets.
Right. So I figured, now what we were going to do is we're going to have our friend Wayne Summers on, who is the dude who actually found the long-lost Metallica Master of Puppets backdrop and returned it to the boys.
Yeah.
Wayne was unable.
I know Wayne.
Yep. Well, so we were going to have Wayne. He was unable to be on the show because last minute he actually went to the Madrid show.
Yeah, last night. Yeah.
I saw him looking for tickets this morning.
Okay, cool. So you know Wayne. He's the head of a chapter over in England, right?
Yeah, I actually met him this past summer on our little mini tour.
Oh, very cool.
Wait, did you go over to the UK and do his tour that he sort of curated?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
He came over and did a few shows in the States that I was at.
That's right, you said the summer.
Oh, nice, very cool.
Which shows did you go to, by the way?
We did Rock on the Range.
Cool.
And then in July we did Orlando, Miami, and then Atlanta.
Wow. Awesome.
The original show Clint and I were planning on going to was Atlanta, but then our tour schedules didn't allow that to happen, obviously, so we got Detroit together, St. Louis, and Philly.
Yep. Were you able to rock at the Snake Pit for any of those?
I was in the Snake Pit for Orlando and Atlanta.
Now, in the snake pit, there's multiple strategies for where to stand. Where did you hang out in the snake pit?
The first one, Orlando, I was on one of the sides towards the back.
Mm-hmm.
And Atlanta, we had the whole back rail.
So, I've heard that the sides where you just kind of described, were you sort of near one of the dips?
Yes.
I've heard that that's a spot to be, and I've actually heard that the back rail is the jam, because once they all start coming down that catwalk,
yeah,
there's always at least one of them, if not three or four,
four or five or six of them.
Well, sometimes Lars goes down for Seek and Destroy, but
yeah,
that's kind of where the boys are, you know?
Yeah, and that's that stadium setup right now. There's not really a snake pick, because they're doing in the round in Europe.
Yep. Okay, let's get into this Metal Madness. So for those of you who heard our Hardwired Part 2 episode with our friend Paul Moak, this is the first time we debuted this lovely contest. Well, it's not a contest. It's a, what do we call this? A segment? An event?
It's a segment. It's a tournament.
A tournament.
A tournament.
For our next tournament. So we're going to pit these two records against each other. It's All in Love and All in Fun. Master Puppets is Ethan's favorite Metallica record. Ride the Lightning's mine. So it'll be interesting to see. Right? Am I right about that?
Yeah, you're very correct, yeah. Blake, what would you say is your favorite record between those two?
Of the two, probably Ride.
Okay.
My man.
I think I lost already.
No, the way it's going to work is I'm going to name two songs out of the 16, and whichever song gets the best of the three votes, we'll move on to the next round until we decide once and for all, good God, what the best song is between these two records.
So many official things happening on this episode.
So everyone ready for round one?
Yay!
All right.
Let's go.
These two songs pitted against each other, which will move to the next round, Fight Fire with Fire or Battery?
Ooh.
Ooh.
I mean...
I'm going Fight Fire.
I'm sure you are. I'm actually... that's a tough one, but
two opening thrashers.
I'm going Battery.
Wow. All right.
Blake has to decide.
Tiebreaker goes to Blake Talica.
I'm going to have to go with Battery.
Yes. Thank you, Blake. That is a tough one, though. I mean, Fight Fire with Fire, dude. I mean, come on.
You know what it is? I think Battery is the better song, but I like that intro to Fight Fire more than the intro to Battery.
I like... they're both great. The Battery one's just good and creepy.
It is creepy. And you know what's funny about that? Creepier intro, less creepy song. Because to me, Fight Fire with Fire is a super creepy song.
Yes, it is, yeah.
But just that beautiful acoustic intro, they didn't do much of that.
No, not at all. I mean, and that intro always just reminds me of Cliff, too.
Totally, yeah.
But yeah, overall Battery, so.
Battery goes through. Good God, you motherfuckers. All right, up next, the Battle of the Instrumentals, Call of Cthulhu versus Orion.
I'm going Orion right off the bat. I love Call of Cthulhu, but Orion is just a perfect masterpiece.
I know what I'm saying, but I want to see what Blake says first.
Orion, it's... Cliff song.
We're unanimous. It's Orion.
It's Orion.
Yep.
That one's easy. Now, dude, the S&M version of Call of Cthulhu.
Amazing.
Is incredible.
Amazing. I really wish that we could have heard something similar to that with Orion.
Yeah. Hey, man, maybe the boys will listen to our S&M Part 2 fictitious set list episode, and they'll be like, huh, those guys have a point. Let's do it again.
You know what is odd, though, is like in the last several years, especially since Rob came on board, which is obviously more than several years, they've been playing Orion a lot more. It's a lot more common now, which is weird because when S&M came out and Cthulhu was so big, I mean, I think it won a Grammy, too.
Yeah.
But that's a really rare treat now.
Right, exactly.
At the time, thinking of them playing Orion was almost unthinkable.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I remember they started playing it again when they did the Master Puppets anniversary set in Asia somewhere, I think.
Don't know. In Earth somewhere?
It was on Earth somewhere, I'm pretty sure.
Well, Rob kills it, that's for sure.
Yeah, he does.
Okay, next, Ride the Lightning, the titular tracks from each record. Ride the Lightning versus Master Puppets.
Jeez,
this is hard.
Jeez.
Because while I do think Master Puppets is the better song, I got to go with Ride the Lightning. Because of the intro is unmistakable, all the riffs are amazing. Unlike Puppets, there's no sort of real slow section. It's just in your fucking face, and it's one of Kirk's best solos of all time.
You were you were basically up until the slow section comment describing Master of Puppets too. I'm like, yeah, it's Master of Puppets as well.
All right, I'm going Lightning.
You're going Lightning. I feel bad for not picking anything off Lightning yet, but I got to go with Puppets.
All right, the tiebreaker goes once again to our friend Blake Talica.
Oh, this is the hardest one so far.
Yeah, it doesn't get easier. Believe that.
I got to go Lightning.
Yes!
Ooh, all right.
My man!
Master of Puppets has been eliminated.
Now, that is truly tough because we're talking two barn burner teams.
I know.
So Ride the Lightning goes on to the next round. This next one's tough for me also. For Whom the Bell Tolls, one of my favorites of all time, versus The Thing That Shouldn't I Be, one of my favorites of all time.
This is a tough one.
For Whom the Bell Tolls versus The Thing That Shouldn't I Be.
I want to know what Blake thinks first.
Bells all day.
Bells all day?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't think there's going to be a tiebreaker because I'm going Bells.
I'm going Bells too.
Yes, unanimous.
That's hard, man.
That is tough. I mean, The Thing That Should Not Be, they just played it at the show last night in Madrid on night number one. Yeah.
Did they really?
Yeah.
That's a rare treat.
Yep.
I have not seen that.
Yeah. Yeah. When I saw them post the set list, I was like, oh, that's bitching.
You know, I'm curious if they, because I think on SNM they cut a verse, right? Blake, do you have any knowledge of that? They've sort of truncated it a little bit. I wonder if they did that in Madrid.
I haven't seen any videos from Madrid yet, so I'm not sure.
I went and looked at some of the other show they did last week. What was the other one they did?
Lisbon.
Yeah, there's some. There's no official Met Club videos, but like they've got Spit Out the Bone and stuff. I mean, they've been doing Spit Out the Bone each night, I think.
Oh yeah, ever since they debuted it, they've done it in the encore.
Cool.
Every time.
All right, Bells moves on. Next, we have the Battle of the Ballads: Fade to Black versus Sanitarium. Easy for me.
I'm going Fade to Black.
We don't even need
Fade
to hear
Black.
Okay, yeah, it's unanimous. Blake said Fade to Black.
All right. Which, you know, does make me sad. I did watch, they released the rehearsals for Lisbon. Like, I guess they went to Lisbon a few days early and just did kind of full day rehearsals on the deck.
Right, yeah.
And they do Sanitarium. And James's clean tone on that song with all that chorusing.
Yeah.
It's so good.
It's real good.
I shouldn't like it as much as I do because it's so affected.
Right.
Okay. The next one. This one's kind of tough. I would consider these songs pretty similar flavors on each of their respective records. Trapped Under Ice versus Leper Messiah.
Ooh. I think I'm going to go Trapped Under Ice.
What do you think, Blake?
God almighty. Leper Messiah.
And the tiebreaker comes to me, and I am happy to report that I'm going with Trapped Under Ice.
Ooh, nice.
Although, give me money, give me drink. I like all that.
By the way, I mistakenly mentioned The Thing That Should Not Be. It was what they played at the show last night. It was Leper Messiah.
Okay, I thought that was an odd. I'm glad you looked that up, because I was like about to shit.
Yeah, I had to double check, because right after I said it, I was like, I think it might have been a different deep cut.
Yeah, so. I know they've been doing Leper, yeah. Okay, this one's definitely one of the hardest ones in the first round. Creeping Death versus...
Don't say Damage Inc.
No. Harder for me, but Creeping Death versus Disposable Heroes.
Oh, yeah. God.
I'll start us off.
Okay, start us off.
Creeping Death's my favorite Metallica song. I'm going Creep.
Okay. I think I'm going Disposable Heroes.
Oh, shit.
Blake, what is it?
Oh, I love them both. I've seen them both live. Good God. Creeping Death.
Yes.
Ah.
Dies it every time.
Yeah, I agree. When did you see Disposable Heroes? Was that the World Magnetic?
No. I know I saw it at one of the Orion festivals, and I believe I've seen it one other time.
Cool.
Oh, would love to see that song live.
Now, I don't think there's going to be any... I believe this one's going to be unanimous, okay? And it makes me sad to say this. Our beloved Damage Inc. Flawless tune. And Escape.
give me a few minutes on this one.
I know. We have to pause it and just take a respite here.
Yeah.
Damage Inc. Ending thrash masterpiece with all of the great Cliff Burton swelly swells, or the song that James Hetfield might hate more than any other song he's ever written, Escape.
Yeah, I guess I'm going to go ahead and go with Damage Inc.
I'm going Damage.
As much as I love Escape, Damage.
I love it too. Yeah. All right.
Escape is a good song. I know that Hetfield doesn't like that song so much, but like when I listen to it, I'm like, man, this is a cool song.
I don't see the problem with it.
I don't either. To me, it reminds me of like new wave of British heavy metal, like that, that sound.
Especially that See Them Bring the Hammer Down section.
Yeah, or just the riffs too. The dan-dan-dan-dan-dan-dan-dan, that kind of stuff.
I love it. All right. Now we're moving on to round two here. We've whittled it down to eight.
All right.
First up, Battery versus Ride the Lightning. Yikes.
Damn it.
I'm going Ride the Lightning. And yeah. I'm not just trying to fanboy out on Lightning. These are my true, honest answers. I'm going Ride the Lightning.
Blake, what do you think?
Battery.
Oh, shit. Ethan. Don't let me down.
I'm going to. Battery.
Okay. All right. And battery goes on to the next round.
Clint's getting another phone call.
Is that going to come through?
Yeah. You're here to boop, boop.
The guy that played the strings on my version of Low Man's Lyric, that's who's calling me.
That's
right
him.
Now.
He's calling for his royalties.
Yeah, dude. It's been about a week and a half since it dropped to our patrons only, so we're rolling in the dough. Okay, so that stopped. All right. Next up, Orion versus Metallica Classic, live staple, For Whom the Bell Tolls.
God, these are getting tough.
They will not be getting easier.
I'm gonna go bells.
Blake, what do you think?
Bells.
I agree, bells.
Okay, unanimous. I want to apologize to Orion so bad right now.
To whom it may concern, we are sorry in our Metal Madness
for
segment.
For whom the vote didn't go to, we apologize.
Okay, bells moves on. Next up, oh god damn. Fade to Black.
No.
Versus Creeping Death.
Mm. Ooh, tough. Barn Burner Ballad.
Ugh. Versus Barn Burner Rock Song.
Shoot, man. I'm going Fade to Black.
I'm going Creeping Death. Blake? Blake's the tiebreaker.
Come on, Blake. What do you say?
Creeping Death.
All right.
I wanted Fade to Black to make it through.
Okay, last one in this round. We got Trapped Under Ice versus Damage Incorporated.
Damaging. Easy.
Damaging.
Okay.
Yeah. That was easy.
This is easy. And we're in our next round, just like that. Oh my god, it moves so quick once you get through the first few. Okay. Battery versus Creeping Death. I'm going Creeping Death. It will shock no one.
Blake?
Creeping Death.
Yeah. Wow. What were you going to say? Battery? Really?
I'm still thinking about it. Let's keep it unanimous. Creeping Death.
Okay.
So let it be written.
So let it be done. Okay. To see what battles Creeping Death for the best song in those two records, we have to decide between For Whom the Bell Tolls and Damage Incorporated. Oh. I'll start us off. I'm going to say Bells because I do think it's broader, has more mass appeal, and in that way, almost more powerful. It's not as fast as Damage Inc. It's not that sort of great thrashy stuff that sort of blown away by all the riffs. It's one of the easiest songs to actually play.
Yeah, it is.
And there's no guitar solo.
Nope. I think I'm going to go Bells.
What would you have said, Blake?
Probably Bells.
Okay.
Wow, okay.
We are just getting along so well.
I know, friends.
Hello.
We can change that and start talking about Saint Anger.
Hey, so anyways, that was Blake Talc, everybody. It was great having him on the show. We're going to delete this whole section.
Formerly the head of the Freedoms of Tennessee chapter. Okay, to find out what is the best song, and of course we say that in love. There's no such thing as the best. We're just having fun.
And there's no such thing as a bad song on either of these records.
Right. We'll get to Saint Anger in a second. Now, best song on these two records, Creeping Death, the mighty Creeping Death, versus the unstoppable live staple, For Whom the Bell Tolls.
It's really weird to me to not have a puppet song in this final round.
Is it For Whom the Bell Tolls or For Whom the Bells Toll? I'm suddenly not sure what it is.
Out of the blue. Bell Tolls.
For Whom the Bell Tolls. Okay. You know what it is? It's like we're at a point now where we really luckily have so many listeners, but if we get one of those things wrong...
Oh, we hear it.
We're looking at 10 to 20 emails about it.
Oh, yeah. A day.
So, okay.
For whom's the bell tolleth?
For whom the cliff Newstead tolleth?
Blake, you want to start us off in this last one?
Yeah, let's hear from Blake first.
This is the hardest one.
Yep.
Creeping Death.
What do you think, Ethan? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go ahead and say For Whom the Bell Tolls.
Just to...
No, because that's how I'm feeling. I'm feeling that.
Really? Well, I'm going with your favorite song, Creeping Death.
All right, Creep wins. Okay, yay!
Creeping Death is the best song on... I'm about to say Justice. Between Puppets and Lightning. And, of course, we love all the songs in these records. We know Blake does. And nothing but love to both these records. They're incredible masterpieces, but... here today on the show, Creeping Death is the winner.
I was thinking about this, and we'll keep Blake. We won't take too much time, Blake, but I was just thinking just now, you know, I love all these songs. I really don't not like any of them.
Right. Yeah.
And I think that's true for almost everything they've done except for Saint Anger. But I was thinking about that because, you know, our friend Tom Quee, he put out on Twitter the other day, I guess he's doing an upcoming episode on The End of the Line, track two or three from Death Magnetic.
Two, I think, yeah.
And it is track two, yeah, right.
Such a good song.
And I wrote back to him and I said, I literally don't have any problems with it. I love every second of it.
Yeah.
And I was surprised to see several people, huge Metallica fans, friends of ours, listeners of the show, write back and sort of say they thought it was maybe too long, it could have been tightened up. And it just made me think, like, other than Saint Anger, maybe I'm just too much of a fanboy, but I love all the Metallica songs.
Yeah, totally.
I love all their songs.
The End of the Line, to me, is one of the best songs in the last 20 years.
I mean, totally agree. Yeah. I have no problem with it. Blake, what do you stand on The End of the Line?
I love everything off that album. Me too. It's great.
I would say the only thing on that album that I would point to is maybe Suicide and Redemption. It doesn't stick with me for some reason.
I like it, and then about two or three minutes in, I'm kind of like, okay, it's time to move on.
Well, and I just find after listening to it, even though you go on a journey and it's our boys and it's extremely impressive, I can't remember anything from it.
Yeah, it's not like Orion or Call of Cthulhu
or even
like
To Live
that.
Is to Die. It's right. Like there's nothing real memorable about it.
But still a great song, amazing record.
All right, Blake, let's real briefly, because I do think we're going to have Blake on for an actual episode at some point. It's
right,
inevitable.
Yeah.
But real briefly, give us your defense of Saint Anger. We know you're a big fan of it. We know a lot of our listeners are. So you in some ways, are speaking for them. What's your take on it?
You know, it's hard to describe other than I'm not a musician. I don't know anything about mixing, anything like that. I know it doesn't sound like a Metallica album in the instrument department, but James' emotion and his lyrics just make that album for me.
Right.
You hear it in his voice.
I would agree with that.
It is a very emotional record.
I mean, where he was at that point in his life with coming out of rehab and recording all these songs and, you know, dealing with a lot on the family side of things, I can agree with that for sure. How do you feel about the snare drum?
I didn't say it sounded good. I just said I liked it.
Yeah, that's kind of... We've heard that a lot. People sort of saying, you know, we get the problems with it, but for many people, those problems aren't big enough to turn them off from the record.
They were for me.
Yeah.
And but I will say, when we did our Saint Anger episode, and I had to dive into that record more so than I ever thought I would in my life, there's a lot of stuff that stuck out to me that I was like, you know what? I can ignore this production for a second. Like, that's a cool riff, or this might be, you know, Dirty Window.
Dirty Window is a standout track.
That to me is kind of like, okay, like I would love to hear this cleaned up.
Yeah. Dirty Window, Unnamed Feeling, Certain Parts of All Within My Hands, Certain Parts of My World, and Sweet Amber. I can, and you know, I like Frantic too.
I mean,
do we like this record?
Hang on a second. Is this another official thing on the show today?
What's your favorite song on Saint Anger, Blake?
Probably All Within My Hands.
Yeah. That's a cool tune.
Yeah. And a good foundation. Doing good things for good people.
Blake, thanks for being on our Metal Madness segment today. It was really nice hearing from you.
Always a pleasure.
Where can people find, let's say someone lives in Tennessee and they are Metallica nerds like the three of us and they want to come hang out with you guys, where can they find information on the Frayed Ends of Tennessee?
You can go to Facebook and search Frayed Ends of Tennessee. If you can't find it that way, go to Instagram and just search Blake Talica.
Nice.
And you're on Twitter. Is it just at Blake Talica?
It is.
Just search Blake Talica anywhere and you'll find him.
Just search the guy with 31 Metallica tattoos.
Yeah.
You know, I actually sent in an inquiry to the Guinness Book of World Records and they turned me down.
Really?
Why? What criteria did you fail to meet?
They did not specify, but they said they were not looking for a record of that type at the moment.
At the moment. So there's hope.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
There's a chance.
Right?
Well, hopefully by you being on the show and mentioning that, we can spread some awareness. This is the good deeds that we do. We're spreading awareness about a very important issue.
Exactly.
We need to get Blake Talica in that goddamn Guinness Book of World Records.
I could say, Blake, at the very least, here today on the Metal Up Your Podcast Book of World Records, you have the most Metallica tattoos. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Hey, Blake, man, it was really good to chat with you. We really appreciate you hopping on with us.
Yeah, no worries. Anytime you guys ever need anything.
Well, there you have it, guys. Metal Madness Part 2.
Who would have thought that some kind of monster would have won the contest?
I mean, between that and Sweet Amber, gosh.
Here's the deal. A lot of really fun stuff's happened. A lot of good stuff coming up. Ethan and I have more or less planned out the next 4 or 5 weeks, assuming there's not a hiccup like there was today.
Right.
The thing for you guys to do, your homework, is go leave that review if you haven't. And if you do anything, go check out our website, because a lot of cool shit's going on there. You can actually hear clips of all the songs from our EP.
Yeah.
The newest thing, and it's a little odd, so I'm going to try to explain it clearly, is for those of you who don't want to get on the patron train, you can actually still financially help the show. We have this Amazon Marketplace. Now, what that means is if you click on a link that's routed through our Metal Up Your Podcast Amazon store, which we have a bunch of links to maybe 45 Metallica items.
Yeah, there's a whole navigation section just called Amazon.
It's called our Amazon Marketplace, or just Amazon.
Amazon.
Now, whatever's on there, let's say it's Kill 'Em All Remastered Vinyl. You can click that. It takes you to Amazon. It looks just like a normal Amazon page. But behind the scenes, it's routed to Metal Up Your Podcast.
Right, yeah.
Now, you can buy that vinyl, or you can navigate away from Metallica, and you can buy a toaster, or a lawnmower, or computer printing paper, or a new hat.
Anything.
Whatever you buy after you click that link for the next 24 hours kicks back to Metal Up Your Podcast.
Yeah, it gives us a little something, essentially, because we're helping promote that item.
And it's not a lot, but if enough of you guys do it and sort of make it your regular sort of avenue through Amazon, it will really help us out.
If you're already somebody that orders through Amazon frequently, like
which my wife and I are, for sure.
Yeah, same here.
Every week.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We're doing something.
Yeah, for sure.
So now what we do is I'll just go to our website, click on one of the Metallica items, and then just navigate away from that.
Yeah.
And for 24 hours, whatever we buy does that. So hopefully that makes sense.
Makes sense to me. I get
it. As long as you're on board.
I'm on board, man. I'm going to buy all the things.
Definitely come hang out with us on Instagram and Twitter. Facebook, not as much, but we're there too. But we do Twitter and Instagram all day, every day.
Yeah, really fun. Those are the two main ones there. And you can always email us at metalupyourpodcastshow@gmail.com. That's the easiest way to get a hold of us. And we didn't have our friend Wayne on here this week, and so we apologize
we'll have Wayne
for that.
On soon.
We'll have him on. So we kind of had to scramble and get something going here really quick, so we hope you enjoyed the episode. We had fun doing it, and we hope you enjoyed listening to it.
Yep. We'll see you guys on the flip-flop. Peace.
Adios.
If you were our advisor, what would you say? Then I would say, delete that.